By the grace of God. Don't you love what God lets us do? I absolutely, absolutely love what He lets us do. And I'm thankful for His grace and His mercy and all that He does. I want you to take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to go to Luke chapter number 19. Luke 19 in your Bibles. And what a great time we had in the house of God yesterday. And I appreciate everybody that's prayed for us today. And I want to encourage you, pray for the church, pray for your pastor and his family. And the devil don't like him. The devil don't like you either. And he's going to do everything he can to stop you. But I want you to pray that God would clear every obstacle out of the way for you to get here the rest of this week. And pray this as well. Pray that God clear every obstacle for somebody that's lost to come this week and see their lives changed. I want to tell you what keeps me going is watching one more soul walk the aisle and get saved. It's worth it all. I don't care what you have to go through. When we get to heaven, it'll be just a drop in the bucket, all the troubles and trials we've had here, compared to what eternity is going to be like. And when we get over there and somebody walks up to you and says, thank you for praying, thank you for standing, thank you for preaching, thank you for living right, because I'm here because that's all that matters in this life. And I'm thankful for it and thankful for all. So pray for this revival this week, that God would absolutely change the lives of His people. Are you in Luke 19? Say amen. The Bible says in verse number 36, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. I'm glad it's still all right to shout with a loud. Am I in one of those churches tonight where it's all right to get a little loud? Yeah, I think we've been to some places where it's just, whoo, that's good preaching. I like it when it gets loud. I've been in the bars before and it's loud there. I've been at ball games before and it's loud there. But I've been in the house of God where it got a little rambunctious in here too. I think it's all right to cry with a loud voice and praise God. The Bible said that they began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. If God's done something really big for you, you ought to shout amen right there. Good. The Bible said, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, and there's some around you as well, from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. They're getting too excited. They're getting too beside themselves. They're getting a little bit out of the banks. I like it when revival gets out of the banks. And they said, rebuke thy disciples because of the praise. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. He said, if they be quiet, you're going to hear somebody shout. And if you think these people shouting is going to mess you up, let them be quiet and listen to the creation of God. And the rocks begin to shout. It's going to really mess up your religion when the rocks and the stones begin to cry out. I want to tell you something, there ain't no rock going to cry out for me. I've got reason to rejoice tonight. I've got reason to praise God tonight. I've got reason. You say, I don't feel good. I just feel like just sitting here. Listen, entertainment is when you sit there and let somebody else do the rejoicing for you. But God didn't call you and God didn't save you for you to be a spectator. God saved you to be a participator. If God's been good to you, somebody shout amen. Amen. Good. I want you to have a seat tonight. I want Dalton, you come up here. I want you to pray for me, preacher. I'm thankful for these young men of God that's coming behind us and have blazed the trail before us. I'm thankful for these ones that's coming behind us that's keeping the trail hot. And I love Brother Dalton. I want you to pray for me, preacher. Amen. Pray that God help me.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the song service tonight. I thank you for, Lord, the worship here tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you touch Brother Brent as he brings the message tonight. Lord, I pray that he'd not stand up here under his power, Lord, but I pray that he'd stand up here under Holy Ghost power. Lord, I pray that you'd bring back, Lord, his studies. Lord, I pray that you'd bring back what we need to hear. I pray that as the congregation sits here tonight, God, I pray that we'd not just sit here, Lord, on our hands, Lord, and just go through the formalities, Lord, but we'd sit here with anointed ears, Lord, listening and waiting on the word of God to be preached to us tonight. God, I pray that we'd go to church on purpose tonight. God, I pray that we'd not walk out of here the same as we walked in. I pray that you'd touch every single soul under the sound of Brother Brent's voice tonight. God, I pray for the people watching on Facebook. God, I pray, Lord, as he preaches, conviction would be falling off of his lips tonight, God. Lord, I pray if there's somebody lost, Lord, you'd save them. Lord, and I pray that you encourage the saint. Lord, and we'll love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. When I got here Sunday morning, I climbed out of our camper, our RV, and somebody had placed a stone on my doorstep. I don't know who did it. I don't know if it's some little toe-headed boy that's trying to flirt around with my girl. I'll find that out later, amen? But they put a stone here, and it's got love written across it. And some maybe initials on the back. And if you left this stone, I appreciate it, because that stone started talking to me when it was in my camper today. And I began to reminisce back to this text and this story in the Bible. God gave me a thought to preach to you, and I'm not going to preach long, but I hope you'll get involved in the sermon. The Bible tells us that as Jesus is riding through Jerusalem, he is riding in his triumphal entry, and the Bible in other places tells us that they begin to cry out, "Hosanna, glory to God in the highest." In this text it said, they said, "Blessed is the King, the one that brings peace, and blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Hosanna. Hosanna is a Hebrew word that literally is interpreted as save us. So these people were literally crying out to Jesus, telling them to save us. I want to tell you, the most important thing you can say to God is to beg God to save your soul. But if you're in here tonight, it shouldn't just stop there. If God saved you, you've got something else to say. And the Bible said that as they begin to cry out, that the Pharisees, those people, those religionists who have a form of godliness but have no power in their life, it's those church people who they don't like worship. They sit there and they fold their arms while you preach and get hot and sweaty, and you preach your lungs till they're just raw. They stare at you and look and say, "Bless me if you can." It's those people that are like the Pharisees. They said, "Why don't you tell all them people that's shouting to be quiet?" I remember being in church services before where I'd watch people sit there with their arms folded, and they would look around and everybody's shouting. I heard a story one time about an old preacher who was up preaching, and a lady got up and just started testifying, and the old man of God was just laughing and clapping his hands and shouting with the old lady. And then a man walked over to him and said, "Why don't you tell her to sit down and be quiet?" He looked at that man and said, "You sit down. I didn't tell her to stand up in the first place." I want to tell you something. You've got reason to worship God. You've got reason to shout tonight. And the Bible said that Jesus looked at those Pharisees and said, "If these are quiet, then the rocks are going to cry out." The Bible tells us that stones have something to say. Now, I've put my ear up to a stone. I've never heard one say anything, but I view in the Bible and I go through the Bible and I found out that stones in the Old Testament, the Bible said that as Joshua was marching across the land and taking God's people into the promised land, that they, God told Joshua, told them, get 12 men. And when you walk through the middle of the Jordan, tell those men to grab a stone, one stone to every man of every tribe, 12 stones. And when you get to the other side of the Jordan, tell those men to stack those stones up. And there's going to come a day when your children are going to come by and they're going to see those stones and they're going to say, what meaneth these stones? What are those stones telling my generation? And he said, tell them that those old people ought to remind the younger generation of where God had brought them from to where they are today. I want to tell you something. I want to preach to an older generation and I want to preach to a younger generation. When God does something for you, you ought to set up stones. You ought to set up pillars. You ought to set up things that remind you of where God brought you from, because it's easy when God spoiled you rotten to sit up and act like you deserve what you get tonight. But I don't deserve anything but the pits of hell. But look at me tonight. Look at you tonight. God's been good to you. He's put food on your table. He put clothes on your children's backs. God has been good to us. I've decided I'm not going to let these stones talk for me, but I have allowed the stones to talk to me. And I believe that I'm going to preach tonight. I'm going to tell you some things that the stones would say if they could talk tonight. And tonight I want to preach to you on what the stones would tell us if they could talk. I found some stones in the Bible that ought to remind each and every one of us of the goodness of God. I find out that if you go in the Gospel of Luke, you'll find out that Jesus, when he comes out of Galilee, the Bible said that the Spirit of God led him up into a wilderness to be tempted. I want to tell you something. It's a trying time. It's a trouble time. It's a troubling time when the devil comes after you and seeks to devour you. But I want to tell you something. You've had a Savior that has been there before you, and he made it through the temptation, and you can make it through the temptation as well. The Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord, one of the greatest things that a Christian can ever go through is when the Spirit of God takes you to a place where you will be tested by your faith. Because if your faith ain't tested, your faith ain't no good. Somebody in here tonight, you say, preacher, I can't shout because I feel like the devil is wearing me out. Preacher, I just don't feel it like I used to. Well, let some stones talk for you tonight. Let some stones remind you of what God is doing for you. The Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord led him up into the wilderness. And as the Spirit of the Lord led him up into the wilderness, I find there's three different places. I ain't got enough time to preach it all, but there's three different places that the devil took Jesus. And the first place that he took him, the Bible said that for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus fasted. And after those 40 days and 40 nights in a wilderness of eating nothing, the Bible said that he was hungry, and the devil came to him. Isn't it amazing how unfair the devil will play in your life? Isn't it amazing that the devil don't come to you and tempt you while you're in the choir? The devil does not come to you when you're sitting there with your hands lifted up to God and you're in a strong place. But when you get in a hungry place, When you get in a weak place, when you get in an empty place, that's when the devil will come after you. And the Bible said that the devil looked at Jesus and said, if you are who you say you are. Now, isn't that amazing? The devil knew who Jesus was. But even in it happens to you as well. The devil knows you're saved. The devil knows you're a child of God. But he'll get you to the place where you don't even feel like you're a child of God anymore. And you'll get weak in your faith. And your faith will get down. And he'll start talking to you and said, if you was really a Christian, if you really knew God like you said, oh, you're looking real big now. Where's that choir? Where's Brother Jake now? Where's those songs you've sung? And you get to a low place and you get to a hungry place. And the Bible said that Satan looked at Jesus and said, if you are who you say you are, turn those stones to bread. Remember what Jesus said this. He said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want to tell you something. If you're in here and you don't know Jesus, if you're in here and you're not saved, you cannot make it by yourself alone. Bread's not going to be enough for you. Your job's not going to be enough for you. Your finances won't be enough for you. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want to tell you what those stones in the temptation would have told us tonight. It would have said, when I was hungry, Jesus is enough. I want to tell you, I've been hungry in my life. I've hit rock bottom. I felt like I couldn't go no more, but then Jesus became enough for somebody like me. I want to tell you something. Jesus is enough for you. You say, is it enough living for God? Is it enough forsaking all that I was? It is enough. A young man looked at Charles Finney. Charles Finney had saw many, many revivals take place. He was an old man, seen thousands upon thousands of people saved in his revival. And a young preacher walked up to Charles Finney and he said, I want a revival. I'm talking about a man who walked through a factory one day and they had to shut the factory down because everybody was on the floor under conviction, crying out to God, scared to death that the floors would open up and they'd drop into hell. And they all shut the factory down, turned the city upside down. I'm talking about bankrupt every bar, bankrupt every alcoholic place. I'm talking about a God that can run hell out of a city and change people's lives. Some young preacher walked up to Charles Finney and he said, oh, to have the power of God that you have on you. He said, please tell me, I am willing to sell all that I have. He said, tell me what it is I can find to preach with the power of God like you got. Charles Finney, that old man of God who saw so many saved, looked at that young preacher. He said, son, until Jesus Christ is enough, you'll never see it. And I want to tell you something. You want God in your life until it gets down to where it's nobody but you and Jesus, until you get to the place where you say, if all forsake me, if my family forsakes me, if my friends forsake me, if all turn their back on me, if all I got is Jesus, then Jesus is enough. You know what those stones in that wilderness would have said? Jesus is still enough. Not only
the stones in the wilderness, but travel a little bit further with me. In John chapter number 2, we find out that Jesus comes to a marriage in the Cana of Galilee. And as they're there, Jesus is invited to the marriage. And there he sits at the marriage. He's not conducting the marital ceremony. He's not even the special guest. He's not sitting up in the high seats. He's just blending in with everybody else. It is a bad day when you allow Jesus to just be like everybody else. When you invite Jesus into your life, he don't plan on coming just to sit with everybody else. You ought to have something special for him in your life. But they just invited him. He wasn't the governor of the feast, but there was a problem. They ran out of wine. And the Bible said that Mary came to him and said, "They have no wine." And he looked at Mary and said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" We know that he was the Son of God, because if I spoke to my mama like that, in her redneck language, she would have slapped my teeth right out of my head. Only the Son of God can talk to his mama like that. He said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" The Bible said she looked at those men, the servants that was there, and said, "Whatsoever he tells you to do, go and do it." That's faith, my friend, that when God can tell you to do something with no questions asked, you'll still do it. The Bible said that Jesus looked at those servants and said, "There's some stone pots over there. I want you to fill them all the way up to the brim." I want to tell you something tonight. They had got down to the last drop. They had got down to the bottom, and you just didn't go to Walmart and go buy more drink. You didn't just go to Walmart and buy more grape punch. They didn't have Walmart back then. So in the middle of this wedding, they should have sent everybody home. But out from the shadows steps Jesus. I'm talking about the miracle worker. I'm talking about the one that when I've hit rock bottom and I'm down to the last drop, there's still hope in Jesus. And he said, "Go fill them water pots up with water." Those stone pots got filled all the way up to the brim. I want to tell you something tonight. I don't want to be one of them halfway Christians. I don't want to just get filled up halfway this week. I don't want to just get filled up three quarters of the way this week. I want to tell you something, church member, you will never get full of God until you get empty of yourself. I want to be one of them all the way Christians. I want God to fill me up to the brim, so much so that if anybody bumps into me on the way to the market or on the way down the street, that wherever they bump into me, everything I've got in me gets on them. Yep. I want to be one of them Christians that God can fill me up to the brim. Let me ask you a question. How much of God do you want this week?
All of
it. You've got to get empty of everything else you have been before he came along. Those stone pots, I ain't enough time to preach it, but they could tell you a few things tonight. They could tell you what their purpose was, and it was not to give drink to anybody. But I want to tell you something. The awesome thing about my Savior is it don't matter what you was before tonight, he can change all of that in you. You say, "I'm not one of them preachers." You better not say it loud enough for God to hear you, because he may just call you. "I'm not one of them all the way Christians. I'm one of them that may come on one night of the week." But if you came on every night of the week, just think how good your week will be if at the first part of your week you can get full of him. He said, "I want you to take those stone pots, fill them up to the brim." And they did. The Bible said that when they dipped in to give drink to the governor of the feast, that water went in the pot but something else came out of the pot. I don't know the variables. There is no way scientifically you can ever take water, put it in a pot, and then by something that takes place in the pot, you pull out wine. But I just believe that Jesus looked in the pot and that water got to thinking to itself, that's the creator of the universe. And it got real humble and maybe even blushed a little bit in the presence of the Savior, and it turned itself into wine. I don't know what happened. All I know is Jesus said, do it, and everything obeyed at the command of the Master. You know what those stone pots could tell us tonight? That when I get down to the bottom, He will fill me up. When I get down to the bottom, when I get down to where I'm nothing, He is abundant. I'm glad that He can do, He is able. Somebody in here say, I'm just not able to do that. I just can't do that. I'm not a good mother. I'm not a good father. I'm not a good Christian. I can't do that. And you know what, Brother Dalton, I found out that I can't either. But I found out this verse in Ephesians 3, verse number 20. It says this, that He is able. I didn't say I was able, but He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I want to live that life that's exceeding abundantly above. But I can only do it because He is able. When I can't, He can. When I'm at my bottom, He is able. Not only is He enough and He is able, but I want to take you to a few more stones tonight. Maybe just one more. Maybe two. The Bible said over there, and I believe it's John chapter number 8, you'll find that there was a woman who was caught in adultery. They brought this woman and threw her, and they said, we caught her in the very act. Isn't it amazing how religionists are real quick to pull you out of your sin and expose your sin? I'm going to say it over here, see if I can get a few more amens. Isn't it amazing how people who are custodians of conduct are real quick about exposing what you are, but when you start dealing with their stuff, they don't want nobody to talk about it. I'm amazed at how crazy we get on social media. Social media says, what's on your mind? I look at it, I say, you don't want to know what's on my mind. Amen. The Bible says, Facebook may say what's on your mind, but the Bible says a fool uttereth all his mind. There's a lot of foolish people telling all their business to everybody and then get mad when everybody else knows your business. Amen. Stop telling it and ain't nobody will know. Amen. I want to come back, so I better move on. They caught her in the very act, they said. I got a question, though. I know you've asked it before yourself, but you can't commit adultery by yourself. There's somebody missing out of that little party. And how are you going to know about the arrangement of the adulterous affair if you hadn't been tipped off to where it's at? Jesus just didn't even pay attention. Now I want to stop and say something. He is a holy God. I figured I'd get a few more amens than that. He is a holy God. You still ought to strive to live right. You still ought to want to do right. But I want to tell you something. God is not paying attention to the accusations of anybody else about you. And the only one you've got to answer to is to that word and Him. If your Bible, if your life lines up with your Bible, then you ain't got nothing to worry about. The Bible said that they pulled her out of this dark, dark place and this dark affair, threw her in front of everybody and said, Jesus, and they did it not because of her. I want to tell you something. Most people and the devil himself ain't trying to trip you up. It's trying to prove that God is not who he says he is. When you falter and you fail, it's really got very little to do with you. It's just so the devil has material to throw it back up in God's face. But watch Jesus. He's sitting there and he's just doodling in the dirt, drawing in the ground. And they said, the law tells us that we've got to stone her. But the truth of the matter is they got it halfway right because the law said we got to stone both of them. But the devil ain't into all the truth. He just wants the truth that's going to defeat you. Yeah, man, that's good preaching even if I am doing it. I'm going to sign my own Bible tonight. Through her. That woman's just sitting there exposed. Humiliated. Disgusted, set up, trapped. Have you ever failed and thought, why? Has the devil ever sifted you to expose to other people that you wish that you really are trying to do right? But the devil is all about exposing how bad you really are. Have you ever been exposed to those people you live with? And you get in a corner of your house somewhere and say, that's not me. That's not who I intended to be. I'm sure that woman laid there and thought to herself, this is not what I wanted out of my life. Exposed as a failure. And they said, stone her. But Jesus stood up and made a statement that would neither condone the sin of this lady, but would also neither condone the judgment of other people. Only God can do that. And he said, ye who is without sin, cast the first stone. Can you hear it? As the stones began to fall. And then they all walked out. All accusers walked out. They said that they walked out from the oldest to youngest, but I believe the first one that walked out was the devil himself.
Amen.
Thought he had him. Thought he had tripped him up. Thought he had done conquered. Thought, I've got him now. What you gonna do, merciful Jesus? What you gonna do, judgment Jesus? Who you gonna be today? You cannot condone the sin and you cannot dismiss everything she's done. You've got to judge her. But in a statement only God can make, ye who is without sin, cast the first stone. And Satan stomped off, said, I thought I had her. I thought I had them. Aren't you glad that when Jesus steps up in the arena, all everybody else, all accusations, all judgment has to go somewhere else because he's the final authority on who you are. And he looks around and says, woman, where's your accusers? He said, does any man stay around to judge you? She said, no man, Lord. You know what she's saying? If you don't do it, nobody else can do it either. And you know what he told her? He said, neither do I accuse you, condemn you, because I didn't come here to condemn. I came to forgive. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Don't finish it there. Who walk not after the flesh, but after Spirit. He said, go and sin no more. And those stones, can you hear them? I could have been used. I could have been thrown. But only Jesus. You want to know what those stones tell me tonight? When I was guilty, He forgave me.
Yes.
Did you know tonight that every sin, every spot, every mistake, every blemish, every time you said, I didn't mean to, Jesus didn't come here to throw the stone. He came here to say, go and sin no more. Those stones. You want to know why Jesus said we got to say something? You want to know why God told us that we ought to brag? You want to know why God said we ought to proclaim the goodness of the Lord? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, because a God like Him showed mercy to a sinner like me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And He said, go and sin no more.
That's right.
When I was guilty, that stone said, I'm forgiven. Yes. Lastly, I'm done. I don't even know what time it is. There's another stone. You'll find it in every four Gospels. The stone is sometimes a forgotten figure in a very familiar story. But there in a garden, there was a stone that was placed and sealed to be a testimony of who was inside and what he had done. But it only took 3 days. And God changed the purpose of that stone. And no longer is He there to tell who's inside and what He had done. But that stone was rolled away to explain and proclaim who's not there. And not only what He has done, but what He is. And I found out that when I was dying in my sin, there was a man named Jesus that was put behind that stone. There were some ladies that was walking to the tomb one day, and they said, who's going to roll away the stone for us? The Bible says in just a few verses, it says that when they got there, they found that the stone had already been rolled away. I want to tell you something. Some of us are worried about things ahead of us that God's already taken care of. When they came there, they found out that the stone was rolled away. That stone was rolled to keep him in. That stone was rolled away to seal and to keep all his followers out. But then in 3 days, the Spirit of God came back into his being, and a heart began to beat. Hands began to move. Eyes began to blink. His legs began to move. He began to stand up. And in the middle of that tomb, he rose over victorious. And death, hey, listen, death was put on his duty. Death was told, I want you to go up there and I want you to stand guard and I want you to keep him in. Devil gave death a proclamation. Whatever you got to do, you've got to keep that one in. Death boasted his chest out and said, every man I've ever met was no match. Satan said, you better be careful about this one. He's not like any other. I believe that on the third day, death was feeling pretty good about himself. And as he had his arms wrapped around the Son of God, the sun began to glow in the tomb one day, about to have a fit, and his eyes began to blink, and death hollered out, hey, I can't get him, I can't hold him, I don't know if I can hold him much longer. Satan, I'm giving it all I got, but I'm losing my grip. And as he began to stretch in life, death had to let go of that one. I believe that as he crawled back to Satan, Satan said, I told you, you've got to hold on to him. Satan, I told you that I had somebody, I had a grip on him. I had, no man has ever been able to do what that man did. I believe death rose up and said, Satan, I've never seen any man like that man. And on the third day, he got up victorious in the grave. And as they rolled the stone away, they proved the power of the Son of God. And that stone tells us that it does not matter what grip has your life, what sin has a hold of in your life. But that stone tells us that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, no matter what's been holding you down, the power of the resurrection of Jesus, all of that stuff has got to let go. One day I came to him dead in my trespasses and sins. One day I came to him as messed up as I could be. One day I came to him and hell had a hold of me. Death had a hold of me. Sin had a hold of me. But then I stepped in and I saw that he had conquered all of that for me. And I heard, psst. And that stone said, that one that was here, he's alive. Amen. And because he's alive, now you can live.
That's right.
But not live like you was.
That's right.
Live like you've never lived before. Tonight, I don't know what's got a hold of you. I don't know what's got a hold of your marriage. I don't know what's got a hold of your children. But in the name of Jesus Christ, you ought to rise up and walk in victorious living. And I've just decided I'm not going to let the stones cry out for me. They don't have to anymore. Because my life is living proof enough. He's alive. You want to know why I'm not a drunk tonight? You want to know why my wife still has a husband tonight? You want to know why my children ain't trying to find me at some bar? You want to know why my father and mother ain't bailing me out of jail tonight? It's all because a man named Jesus Christ walked into my, just like he walked into that tomb, he walked into my life, and when he came out in victorious Christian living. I'm talking about power over death, hell, and the grave. I'm here to tell you tonight that you don't have to go back to that that same hell you came from. You don't have to go back to that same living you came from. Sir, you don't have to be addicted to anything but Jesus. You don't have to go back to those websites. You don't have to go back to that partying crowd. You don't have to go back to that lifestyle of living. Jesus Christ died, but in 3 days he got up so you can live in victorious power. I met this boy in West Virginia just 2 weeks ago. Y'all get something for him or an invitation. This boy, his whole family had been praying for him. He was 24 years of age, been in jail, addicted to crack. He had peddled drugs into the school systems to kids. He said, I ain't got no need of your God. I ain't got no need of any of the things y'all do. He told his mama, he said, you belong to a cult. He said, them people are cultish. He said, all that stuff up there is fake. She begged him. She said, I want you to come to one of my meetings that we have. He had come to church, laugh, sitting on the back row at the preacher up there screaming and hollering. He said, I've heard all that junk before. See, sin had a hold on him. Wouldn't let him go. Like that woman, the devil had done got down real close and whispered. Said, you're caught in it. You'll never get out. That boy's life was just like those stone pots. As empty as they could be. Through one trial and one problem after another, that boy lost his job. Friends turned on him, laughed him to scorn when he hit rock bottom. And like those stones in that wilderness, that boy started getting real hungry. One night, just 2 weeks ago, broken, beaten, defeated, he come dragging him, walking in underneath a tent in Ripley, West Virginia. When the first song started, he wasn't laughing on the back row. Tears just started pouring out of his eyes. I got up and preached. It was about as pitiful a job as I preached tonight. But I watched him the whole time, his eyes just glued, just weeping. I said, sick him, God. Get him, Lord. During the invitation, I just asked him. I said, aren't you tired of being who you've always been? Aren't you tired of doing what you've always done? And as a stone, my life just began to cry out. And I told him, you don't have to live there no more. He stepped out. Turned left. Down the aisle. And God turned to life. And changed him. Sunday morning he went to church. He's getting baptized. His mama just sat there with her arms raised. All those years of being cussed out. All those years of saying, you're a fool. All those years of saying, you belong to a cult. All those years of having to bail him out of jail. In one moment, through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, everything changed. Tonight, I want to ask you a question. Are you tired of living where you're living? Do you want more? Then don't sit there and let a stone preach a sermon that you yourself ought to be preaching. Get in it. Get involved. Start living it. Because there ain't nobody like him. How many of you tonight stand to your feet? Get around this altar. Just say, God, use my life. I don't want to sit like a stone. But I want to proclaim salvation in God. I want to be used of God. Standing all over the house. Stand to your feet, everybody. Stand up. What a God we serve. I want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. God, when sin had a hold of me, when death wrapped its arms around me and tried to kill me, you set me free. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. God, I ask that everybody that's in this altar tonight, you would pour out your Spirit on them. God, every problem, every issue, every difficulty they're dealing with, that you'd step right in on time. Change their life. Prove who you say you are. Be to us who we've read about. Because God, to be honest with you, we don't have nobody else but you. Lord, I ask if there's anybody in here that don't know you as their personal Savior and they don't know that they're on their way to heaven. I ask you in Jesus' name that you would send Holy Ghost convicting power right now. Draw them to yourself. God, if there's somebody that is saved but backslid, that you too would draw them to yourself. God, if there's that one that's ready to give up, that you would fill them with yourself. We're trusting in you, believing in you, that you can do it and will do it. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Some are still praying. Tonight, if you're a Christian, but you've got some areas of your life that you know God needs to tend to. How many of you on this first night of revival would say, Brother Brent, I really need God to do something in my life. I've got some things that I'm trusting Him for right now. How many of you just slip your hand up? Say, that's me, preacher. If you haven't already been to this altar to pray for those things, I want to invite you right now to get around this altar and pray. Lay those burdens you've got on the Lord. Connect with Him. Plug into Him. Be filled with Him. Would you come? Those of you who slipped your hands up and said, I've got some things I need God to tend to. That's it. Come on. Nobody looking around. I'm taking my seat. Is there somebody in here tonight? You'd say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. Preacher, I have some doubt. Preacher, I don't know if I died tonight that I would meet God right. Will you pray for me? I will. If that's you in here tonight, nobody looking around, you'd say, preacher, I don't know I'm saved. I don't know I'm saved. But before I die, I want to get that right with God. Is there anybody slip your hand up and say, that's me, preacher? I don't know that I'm saved. But I want to get it right with God. I don't know that I'm saved. But I want to get it right with God. Is there one? Just slip it up, put it right back down. Slip it up, put it right back down. Preacher, pray for me. I will. Holy Spirit of God, do what only you can do in your power, in Jesus' name, preacher.
You can continue to pray. If you will, I don't want to belabor the service, but if you will, just keep your heads bowed. I went to Victory in 2007. I remember that song they sang, Just in Time. Boy, I had an awareness of where I was. I was still in a honeymoon with the Lord, and I had a real awareness of where I was and who I was and how close I'd came. You can have a seat if y'all need to. I know y'all been standing for a while. I'm sorry. You can have a seat. Heads bowed. Just keep them bowed. There's still people praying. But as I sat there, I remember them singing that song Just in Time, and boy, I'm sure thankful. Y'all know my testimony, and you know that I told you, I believe the Holy Spirit convicted my heart and told me the day was the day, and that was it. And what I'm scared about right now is that there's some folks that you've turned Him away so many times because you're so worried what somebody might think about you walking an aisle and getting saved, that you've turned Him down over and over. You've rejected Him over and over, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about salvation. And you try to put it off on everything else in the world. But you know, and I know right now, you do not know where you'd spend eternity. And it ain't going to be all right. It ain't going to be all right. Everything's not going to be okay. You're not going to stand before God and talk your way out of it. God's given you an opportunity and a chance right now. And I'm begging you as your preacher, as your pastor, as your friend, I'm begging you. So you don't know who's saved and who ain't. I tell you what, we do a good job. As much as we try to hide it, we still do a good job of giving all sorts of indicators that we're not saved. So tonight, before we say the final amen, I want you to know I love you, and I'm begging you. Quit fighting God. Quit worrying about what somebody's going to think about you. Get saved tonight. You think God's done something with your life. Wait till He's got all of you. Right now, I want you to get up out of your seat. Come on. You've been playing long enough. Come on. God will take you just as you are. This church will accept you just as you are. But I'm begging you to quit playing. Quit fighting. Won't you come? Let us help you. I'm begging you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for loving on us for a little bit. Lord, I thank you for what you've done. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you continue to work on hearts. And Lord, I pray, Lord, we'll put aside our pride. God, we'll get things right with you where we need to be with you. And that God, you get all honor and glory out of everything we do this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.